Nice. My name is Rob, and if we haven't met, I'm the youth director here at the church. And if there is a student in your life, junior high or high school, we would love to meet them and work with them on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. And before I begin, I just want to say thank you to all of you who've made me and my family feel welcome here over the last few months. There they are. This is a special honor for me to be here today. Pastor Joe asked me to speak this morning, and I was so excited when I heard about what chapter of the story I would be talking about. And this story is one of my favorites in all the Bible, and it really asks the question, what do you do when God leads you to do something brave for Him? And what do you do when you feel like God's leading you to do something difficult or even scary? And our story begins in the year 479 BC, and many of the Israelites have left Babylon and have returned to Jerusalem. But the Persian Empire is still the world power. And this vast empire was led at the time by their great emperor, King Xerxes the Great. And this is an ancient representation of Xerxes. And the Bible describes him as a powerful and ruthless king. And history tells us that he had a vast army and that he was dominant in battle. And his kingdom stretched far and wide over the ancient world. Now, in our day, if we're critical of our government leaders, we have the freedom to express that criticism. But in that day and in that culture, this was not tolerated at all. And criticizing Xerxes and his officials could mean instant death. And there was even a famous law that said that no one was even allowed to speak to Xerxes or even approach him without his invitation. Interrupting him or speaking to him or approaching him unannounced was punishable by death. Now, many of us know this classic story. Xerxes was having a 6-month-long banquet with his military officials. And the Bible tells us that one night during the banquet, he commanded that his wife, Queen Vashti, come and display her beauty to his officials. And Esther chapter 1 verse 12 says, when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. And the king decided that she was never allowed to enter his presence ever again, and that her royal position as the queen would be given to someone else. And then Xerxes began searching for a new wife, and he ordered that an empire-wide search be made for the most beautiful young women in the kingdom. And in the end, out of all the women in his empire, he chose a young girl named Esther. Esther was an orphan, and she was adopted by her uncle Mordecai. And when Xerxes' officials saw her, they all agreed that she was beautiful, and so they added her to that group of ladies that the king would eventually choose from. And for an entire year, she went through beauty treatments, and the Bible tells us that she was given special food and attendance. And the Bible says this in Esther 2:17, now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. Esther's uncle Mordecai warned her to keep her Jewish nationality a secret from the king, and she did. So at this moment in Esther's life, things are very good. Things are stable. She's the queen. Her husband is the king, and she has a group of servants to wait on her hand and foot. She has everything that she could ever want. She will never be in need again. And then one day, everything changed. King Xerxes had an important official named Haman. This is one artist's representation of Haman. Haman was the second in command over the entire Persian Empire. And Haman loved being important. He loved his position of power, and he expected everyone to kneel in his presence. Everywhere he went, people would kneel as he walked by. Everyone except one man, Esther's uncle Mordecai. Esther 3 says this: after these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. And Mordecai didn't kneel down before anyone except God. And the Bible tells us that Haman was furious when Mordecai wouldn't kneel down before him. And he could have killed Mordecai on the spot, but he wanted to go even further. He wanted Mordecai to pay for this disrespect by killing every Jewish person in the Persian Empire. Esther 3 says, when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. And so Haman goes straight to the emperor, King Xerxes, and says this: there is a certain people dispersed among the province, the people in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all the other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury. So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Keep the money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. And so King Xerxes has just given Haman permission to slaughter every Jewish person in the Persian Empire. They set a date for the slaughter, and the news of this decision was dispersed all over the empire. And this decision was added to the famous laws of the Medes and Persians, and these laws could not be changed. This decision was final. So what do you do if you are a Jewish person in these days and at this time? The most powerful empire on the planet has decided to wipe you out. You and your people, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You can't overpower them. You can't run away from them. It's inevitable. The Bible tells us that Mordecai and all of the Jews began to weep and mourn and pray and fast. What could they do to stop this slaughter, this genocide? Who could help them? Was there anyone on the inside of the palace who could reason with King Xerxes? Then Mordecai decided to reach out to Esther. She was Jewish. She was the queen. If anyone could help the people, it would be her. But what could even she do? Esther was still living in the palace, but the king had not spoken to her in weeks. And even though she was the queen, it was still illegal for her to speak to Xerxes. And so she's stuck. If she went in and interrupted him and asked him to change his mind about a law that he had just signed, he could have her killed. So if she goes in and speaks to him, she can be killed. And if she doesn't go in and speak to him, she would also be killed along with the rest of the Jews. Esther sends this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law: that they be put to death, unless the king extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Mordecai responds, "Do not think that because you alone, because you are in the king's house, that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And so Mordecai challenges her and says, "We need your help. We need you to be brave right now. We need you to be our hero right now. We need you. And if you don't help us, then God will send somebody else to help us. But don't forget that you're Jewish too. You are in danger of being killed along with the rest of us." And then he says that famous line, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." In other words, maybe God made you queen for a reason. Maybe God made you beautiful for a reason. Maybe God made you wealthy and important and influential for a reason. Maybe God decided to have you born in this place and at this time for a reason. And that reason is to help people and to serve God. As a youth pastor, this has been my message to students for years, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has a dream and a special destiny designed just for you. And God has given you skills and talents and abilities and passions. But they're not just for you. They're given to you so that you could use them to serve God and to help people. I've been sharing this verse with students for years, and I want to share it with all of you. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has created you, and he has been preparing you to do something incredible, maybe even something courageous for him, something that is made for you, that only you can do. God puts you in the neighborhood that you're in, and the job that you're in, and the school that you're in, because he has something for you to do. He has a purpose and a plan for you. He's given you the talents and the ability and the resources that you have, but they're not just for you. God gave them to you so that you could use them to serve him and to help people. And all this leads me back to that question I asked at the very beginning. What do you do when God leads you to do something brave for him? What do you do when you feel like God is leading you to do something scary or courageous or difficult? Mordecai asked Esther to risk her life and do something courageous and heroic for God and for others. And based on her response, we can assume she didn't want to. So what does she do? This is her response to Mordecai. "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So she says, "I need you to pray for me. I need you to get everybody together and pray for me. And I'm going to pray about this myself. And after that, I'm scared, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to commit and do it." Now, if you haven't already, I encourage you to read the story of Esther. It's fascinating. And spoiler alert, she does go to the king and she saves the Jewish people. But the question is still there. What do you do when God leads you to do something brave for him? What did Esther do? Esther prayed and she asked others to pray for her. And she sought God, and she sought his wisdom, and she asked him for courage. She asked him for insight and a plan. And as you and I keep following Jesus, he will lead us to do something courageous. And he will lead us to do something that pushes us outside of our comfort zone. And what is the brave thing that God is calling you to do in these days? What is the courageous thing that he's challenging you to step out and trust him in? Maybe for you, you need to ask someone for help and say, I've been trying to beat this sin on my own, but I can't. And I need your help. Maybe for you, you need to tell your neighbor or your coworker or your friend or your classmate, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I believe that he's real and he's coming again. And I believe that he loves you. And I'm praying for you. Maybe for you, you need to finally let go of a grudge that you've been carrying for a long time and forgive someone that's hurt you a long time ago. Maybe it's time to take the first step and mend a relationship or begin that ministry that God has been putting on your heart. What is the brave thing that God is calling you to do in these days? And what is holding you back? Let's be like Esther and ask God for courage and wisdom and a plan. And let's walk in obedience to him. I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. God, I pray that for all of us, that you would lead us to do courageous things for you, brave things for you. Help us to have faith in you, just like Esther did. And God, we trust that you will do amazing things through our lives when we follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand for worship.